Welcome to Connections from Franconia Mennonite Conference. My name is Emily and I have playwright and storyteller Ted Schwartz on the phone. Ted's the founder and brain behind Ted & Company. He'll be coming to town with a Peace, Pies, and Profits tour at Souderton Mennonite Church, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on March 11th. For more information, head to tedandcompany.com. So, Ted, the tour is called Peace, Pies, and Profits, but the show is called I'd Like to Buy an Enemy. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to create the show?
I actually wrote the show as it stands right now. Still kind of has been in process for a couple of years, but I did the first version of it that was written in 2009. But I had started the process in 2006, maybe actually in the winter of 2005 and spring of 2006. I've always been interested in, concerned about social justice issues, and my parents were very active. My dad especially was active in the peace and social concerns committees of the conference and so forth. And it's always been a piece of what I wanted to take seriously about what I cared about and what I was interested in. And I was at a gathering at someone's house watching the sun go down, and we were talking issues of peace and justice and politics, and this man turned to me and said, do something about this. And I'm a playwright, and so I might even think about what can I do that will illuminate some of these issues in a way that perhaps people will listen more readily. And so I work in comedy and I work in theater, so that's part of the reason that I wanted to write this show. It's something that I feel pretty strongly about and have for a long time, and this is my way of trying to do something about it.
And what's the show about?
I would say the core message of the show is that the more information you have, the more readily you can make decisions based on who we support in this particular country, where our money goes, what our government is doing in our name. It's a consciousness-raising piece more than anything else. It's supposed to be, and I think it is, entertaining. It's funny. But it also raises issues that bring to question why is fear such a big element of motivation in this country. Fear is a great motivator for a number of reasons, but why do we use it sort of on a national level? Enemies are created, in my opinion, to more easily manipulate us. There's a line in the play that the cerebral cortex says, pay attention. All we're asking is that you pay attention. Thanks for paying attention.
So I hear you saying that we have parts of the brain, and I also saw a picture of a banana, I think. What other kind of characters can we anticipate seeing in this show?
There's a clown in it. There is a ukulele. And the banana is, again, a consciousness-raising piece about where our commodities come from in this country. There's such a thing called conflict commodities. And those are things like coffee, things like bananas, diamonds, uranium, as well as the raw materials to make cell phone parts and so forth, have within them a path that is sometimes painful and oftentimes destructive to people. Conflict commodities is another word to say that people have been hurt in order for us to have easy access to things like bananas.
So then are the pies conflict commodities?
That's a really interesting question. I don't think so. It depends on where you get all your fruit, I suppose, if it's a fruit pie. That's a very interesting question. Let's call it a non-conflict commodity, the pies.
So what's the deal with the pies anyway?
Well, first of all, let me say that all proceeds from the show, as well as the pie sales, are to support Christian Peacemaker Teams. And Tim Nashsinger, who lives in Chicago, is with Christian Peacemaker Teams. Within the past year, he said we had a pie auction, and it was a huge hit. So I thought, well, why don't we have a pie auction at every show? And so then we renamed the tour to include a pie auction, and we called it the Peace, Pies, and Profits Tour. So that's why the pies. And apparently, pies are cool. I had no idea. But that's what I was told by the people that are in my organization that are in the 20 to 30-something age, that apparently pies are cool. So, and we want to be cool, by all means.
Are you cool?
It depends on who you talk to. Yeah. I'm not sure my wife thinks I'm very cool. But
what about your kids?
My kids might think I'm okay. Yeah, depending on what role I'm taking at the moment. I think I'm cool as long as it's okay for them to think it's cool.
So maybe you don't want your kids talking back, but I know that the talkbacks you have sometimes after your shows are pretty popular. Can we look forward to having a talkback after the Souderton show?
One of the things that's going to happen at the Souderton show, and this is primarily for this, is yes, there'll be an opportunity to have conversations, but it will probably move off-site. I think that we've rented the coffee shop on Main Street for further conversations. One of the things that we hope that happens with this show is that it brings up and stirs up conversations that can continue on after we've left town.
Well, yeah, because the show addresses some pretty serious topics. I mean, you mentioned nuclear weapons in Iran, but are there other fears, maybe more normal everyday fears, that you would say the show would address as well?
Yes, I think that there are fears that we handle every day. I also want to say that the way that our brains are put together is that that's a very integral part of the brain. We need to have that part of the brain. That's what tells you to get out of the way of a truck if you're standing in the middle of the road. You don't have to think about what kind of truck it is. You just need to move. So it's part of what keeps us safe. However, the everyday kind of things is when we encounter people that are not quite the same as us. We spend a bit of time talking about the other in our lives, and who is the other. In some cases, it's someone in a different country, and in some cases, it's someone who's in your same town. Maybe they look different. Maybe they talk differently. And so that what I think is an illogical fear of someone who's just different. For me personally, the fear of failure is a huge issue of anybody who works in any kind of business or any kind of art. Always have to deal with those. We deal with fear of irrelevance, and sometimes those are motivating factors in a positive way, but most of the time that they're negative motivators. I think it's probably true. I read it somewhere. It's not original with me that most art is not censured from the outside. It's self-censored. It never reaches the point where it gets an audience because we're afraid to let it out. It's a little bit different than a large fear of nuclear war, but I think more importantly, it's the fear of the other that is consistent with what I think the show is saying.
Well, you mentioned the fear of failure. You're originally from Franconia Conference, grew up at Spring City, spent 5 years at Plains. Do you find it difficult to come back sometimes? Is there some extra fear in returning to your old stomping grounds?
Sometimes. the whole prophet in the hometown cliche is sometimes true, that what you want to be able to do is create a life, create a business, create an art form that you want people to take it for what it is rather than their assumptions of what you used to be. One of my favorite audiences ever was back at Christopher Dock when I was given it was an alumni award, and we had a show that night of a show that I had written, and the first couple rows were reserved for my family, extended family on both sides. Sue and I have family on both sides up there. And the second and third rows were my classmates from high school, because we had a reunion that year. And that was a pretty cool goal. That was one of my favorite audiences ever. But then there are times that I come back in the area and nobody I know is there. So I'm afraid that's one of my fears. One of the things about this particular show that has been good for me to do, and you asked early on why I did it, there was a fear initially that this particular show, because it does point fingers at ourselves as a country. And I was told by a friend who worked in the Center for Justice and Peacemaking up here at EMU, when I told her I was working on a show, she said, "Well, what took you so long?" And then said something that was rather prescient. She said, "You're not afraid that they will martyr you anymore, but you're afraid that they might martyr your business." There's that little bit of a fear, because one of the things that people ask us in talkbacks is, what happens when you're in an unfriendly audience with this particular show? So that's one of the fears then. Hangs on.
Well, not to put you on the spot or anything, but you've been out of Franconia Conference for a number of years now. As you're looking back in from the outside, is there any insight you'd like to share with us?
This probably isn't going to sound very new to some people. People that come from the outside and look at the Mennonite Church and look at some of the Anabaptist teachings, and specifically some of the peace positions and the way of walking with Jesus in a way that seems authentic, have said to us, "Where have you been, and why haven't we heard you before?" I guess I would say that message is one that Franconia Conference, I think, understands at a certain level, but it is one of the most conservative in a small C conferences in the United States, because it is around a lack of interest in significant change. Not conservative politics necessarily, not conservative theology, but in the, we want to conserve this way of how we've always done it. And so there's a resistance to change. And change can be scary, but we're going to have to embrace some of these observations, people in their 20s and 30s that are saying, as they look in at us, we'd like to help you bring a message that you've already been saying, but you haven't said it very loud. And part of that message is embedded in, I think, a Christ-driven response to injustice, to war, to violence. And that's one of the ways, if not the most significant way, that the church will survive. If it's simply about borrowing evangelicalism, as we've done for so many years, without a sense that because we no longer think it's important to dress differently, then what is it that makes us significantly different? And different in a way of offering something that is not just to be different, it's to be consistent with what we think Christ's message is. Our goal should be to be faithful, and in some ways that will make us different, but ultimately we want to be the same, because ultimately we want to be that kind of witness.
Ted Swartz on the phone, creator of Ted & Company and the show I'd Like to Buy an Enemy. It's coming to town in the Peace, Pies, and Profits tour. March 10th, 7 o'clock, Broad Street Ministry in Philly. March 11th at 3 at Souderton Mennonite Church. And he'll also be around later this month with a different show, March 24th at Quakertown Christian School. You can find more information about all these shows on Ted's website, tedandcompany.com, under the Calendars tab. I'm Emily Ralph, and this has been Connections from Franconia Mennonite Conference. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at FranconiaMC, and subscribe to our feed at franconiaconference.org.